local control is the most important part of siting data centers, where they're going to go, including the environmental needs, whether it's air cooling or water cooling. But today, our electricity prices are 100% being driven by the future need for electricity for these hyperscale data centers.
So, hello, listeners. This is the Straight to the Point podcast. I'm Representative Joe DiOrsi, and in studio today, I have a special guest. He represents House District 160 from the counties of Delaware and Chester. He is Representative Craig Williams. Craig, thanks for joining.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for inviting me.
So, we have a pretty momentous thing to discuss today. Certainly, data centers are a big topic in Pennsylvania, dating back to the Energy Summit in Pittsburgh, where I attended. Certainly an acute issue in my district. You're tackling the issue. Just by way of background, the things that I've been saying to my constituents, because it does seem that these are incoming, is we got to protect consumers in the area of power, water, in the instance that they're water-cooled, and then just making sure that we keep it locally controlled as opposed to state bureaucrats and departments creating a one-size-fits-all framework. And we considered yesterday, in contrast to your bill, House Bill 1834, what are your initial thoughts of just your opposition to that bill?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You refer back to the Energy Summit that was out in the western part of the state. That was kind of the beginning of a statewide conversation about the power needs that we know are coming. I've been working on this for years. I'm on the Energy Supply Task Force of the National Conference of State Legislatures. I sit on the Executive Committee of the National Council on Electricity Policy, which is a NARUC function. And as you know, I'm an energy attorney. I've been working on this for years. And we've known that this moment was coming. My principal policy objective is to take care of the electricity needs, because you're exactly right. Local control is the most important part of siting data centers, where they're going to go, including the environmental needs, whether it's air cooling or water cooling. But today, our electricity prices are 100% being driven by the future need for electricity for these hyperscale data centers. I don't typically mess around too much with what I call retail data centers, the smaller ones that are coming to our communities. It's the Google, the Meta, the AWS and XAI that are going to need gigawatts worth of new electricity. And we can talk about the bill that ran on the floor yesterday that didn't solve any of these problems. It just turned the clock back to climate change. But we have to solve the power problem immediately, because we're already paying the price. Just by way of a very small illustration, on your electricity bill, you pay for your utility costs. That's the poles and wires that bring electricity from your house. Those are unavoidable costs, and they're usually fairly stagnant with the exception of what inflation may do. Then you pay two more components of your electricity bill: the actual energy you use, and that's in the energy marketplace, which right now is trending up very, very quickly, and the other is a capacity market. Capacity is a promise by electricity makers to make electricity available in the future. They can make money in one of two ways: selling it to you or selling it in the capacity market. And it was that anticipation of future need for hyperscale data centers that drove our prices through the roof almost overnight. Eightfold in Pennsylvania, 15-fold in Maryland. And we've got to do something today to address tomorrow's electricity needs.
Well, I would, just off the top of my head, Craig, one of the key remedies is generating more, is it not?
It's the whole problem, right? But imagine, if you will, that you're the state of Maryland, and you have driven offline all coal and all natural gas generation because, you know, the fossil fuel industry is the evil to be avoided if you're of that ilk, right? So they've successfully done that. And now Maryland imports 40% of its electricity needs from states like Pennsylvania that are providing them natural gas generation. So the question first is, are you going to continue policies that make it impossible to build in your state? Now, you and I would agree that when we passed our budget last November, late, but still, we got a huge win in that we once and for all said we're not going to enter into RGGI, which is a way of penalizing any electricity generation that's not of the kind that you don't like.
Yep.
Right? We got rid of that. Yesterday's bill went right back to it.
Yep.
Right back to it. 25% requirement that you're going to come from, air quotes, clean energy, defined as the things they don't, anything other than what they don't like.
It was dressed as accountability to data centers with a lot of flowery language, but it was a backdoor green energy effort, which is why we opposed.
Joe, I will tell you, as I said kind of boastfully at the outset, I've been working on this for much of my professional life, and now in my state representative life, it's the number one thing I've been working on. I asked the question of experts in the community, in the industry, we got rid of RGGI. Why are our doors not getting kicked down to start building new generation in Pennsylvania? And the answer actually astonished me. A guy who worked in energy, they said, we don't trust you. I'm like, what's not to trust? We got rid of RGGI. And they're like, no, but you're going back.
Well, this bill was passed out of the House yesterday, so that illustrates that fear.
Exactly where I was going. And they pointed to this bill as evidence of the fact that, like, you guys aren't done with the Green New Deal. You're going right back there. And I've since met with, you know, most of our natural gas on the production side and the generation side are owned by Texas Oil and Gas. And I talked to them yesterday, and they are encouraged by my bill that's that we're about to drop. So I've dropped the co-sponsorship memo, but we have the language now, too.
So draw the contrast. You have a better alternative. It's the Ratepayer Protection Act. Walk us through that.
Sure. It has three components. But to get to the three components, you need to understand a little bit of where we sit right now. The first is Governor Shapiro and all 13 governors of the PJM territory, along with the Secretary of Energy at the federal level and the Secretary of Interior, signed a document that was the statement of principles about cost control, mainly in the capacity market, which I already explained. The other is, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the president had a press conference with the hyperscalers, Google, Meta, XAI was there, and Amazon Web Services. Signed a proclamation, an agreement that they would pay for their own new generation and that they would pay their own costs of bringing hyperscale data centers online. So there's a tremendous amount of infrastructure build that has to happen to accommodate them, and they all agreed they should pay for that. The problem is this. The statement of principles signed by Josh Shapiro is not law, and the proclamation signed by the president, his team, and hyperscalers is not law. So you need state law. I mean, much of this on the generation side can be federal control, but the actual regulations for bringing new power into your state is state law. So I've introduced a bill that does three things. The first is it requires hyperscale data centers to bring their own generation. In other words, regardless of what it looks like, you can't be buying power from underneath ratepayers.
Right.
Right. Buying power from underneath ratepayers is the reason that our prices are going up, because it's a limited supply, demand is through the roof, and you know simple economics from high school, price has to go up, and that's what we're facing right now. So I say all of your generation has to be additive. The second piece is you have to pay for your own infrastructure costs, no matter how attenuated it is from your facility. And the third piece is something that's fairly unique, which is to require our utilities to start engaging in long-term power purchase agreements with Pennsylvania Generation. And the idea, Joe, is this. If we're going to make most of the electricity for PJM and be the number three exporter in the country, Pennsylvanians ought to benefit first.
Yeah. This plan, as you cited Governor Shapiro, a Democrat, President Trump, obviously a Republican, this encapsulates the best of both worlds. And on the ground in the 47th, it encapsulates their wishes as well. What we saw yesterday is errant to what anyone with sense is saying. I mean, we need to protect our ratepayers, our consumers. But is that right? You've addressed Governor Shapiro's concerns. You're right in line with President Trump's concerns.
Absolutely. And I want to add before I answer your question directly that the end of my bill says nothing in our state law would impede municipalities' ability to determine for themselves whether or not they have a data center, right? So you and I have been in lockstep on that, which is whether or not, whether it's a small retail-sized data center or a hyperscale data center coming to your neighborhood, you should have some say over it, just like it's a shopping center, right? Nothing in this bill would require them to be built there. But you're exactly right. And I said this on the floor yesterday in opposition to this bill. The government, the governor himself in the budget address gave us four principles on how we are to be governed and get data centers. My bill addresses all four pieces of that. The bill that we ran yesterday did not. It like completely set his standards aside and said, well, we're going to go with this thing and try to reintroduce the Green New Deal. There's nobody in the sector that saw that as a serious effort. Nobody. And at some point, we're going to have to get serious about this issue. And I think we can take care of it during this budget season if we all start working together. I was very plain on the floor. It's like, I think the governor got it right in terms of the four tenets of, mm-hmm. of his concepts about how this should be resolved. I've just put pen to paper to make it real.
Yeah, so final thought here, Craig. The namesake, Ratepayer Protection Act, your ultimate goal here is to protect ratepayers of the Commonwealth. It's been said several times, you know, these data centers are coming, it's going to happen, but the number one thing we have to protect is that their electricity costs are kept in check.
Joe,
that's the goal.
I am going to take that point and then elevate it on steroids, because I said this at a press conference in Maryland when the House of Delegates brought me down there to speak. It's not just that I'm protecting ratepayers. If we build more generation in Pennsylvania, we can be the ones supplying data centers in neighboring states. This is an economic opportunity for Pennsylvania like we haven't seen since the industrialization of the state. This is the kind of thing that perhaps allows you and me to start eliminating property tax. I mean, I'm from Alaska originally. Every Alaskan gets a check from the state because the oil revenues are so big that our permanent fund is almost unwieldy. So they pay Alaskans every year to be Alaskans and nothing more. I'd like to see Pennsylvania be like that.
Yeah. So, Craig, thanks for joining Straight
Absolutely.
To the Point. He is Representative Craig Williams, representing the 160th Legislative District in Delaware and Chester counties. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.